Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, March 9th, 2013. And it's my great pleasure today to be interviewing Andrew Bartzis. And Andrew is a host of two radio talk shows, Evolution Radio or Revolution Radio, or 90% of the word revolution is evolution. That's a YouTube show. All his shows are posted on YouTube. And also on Wolf Spirit Radio. And he's on the air live an average of 2 hours a day during the work week. I think he was on about 18, 19 hours this last week, and he has an extraordinary gift. Just as a medical intuitive can tune into what's going on in your body, Andrew is a highly intuitive reader of the Akashic Records while in a conscious state, and he has a good explanation of how he does this and what this really means. Have you ever wondered about the eternal progression of the soul, or how conscious evolution proceeds according to cosmic universal laws? Is it true that every soul is born at a specific time in a specific body, family, and community for the specific purpose ordained for soul experience and growth? Would you agree that this is the purpose and plan that masters, avatars, and cosmic hosts of heaven serve? Andrew Bartzis is a modern-day seer, or intuitive, with the same message that gifted shaman have had in native cultures throughout history. We are all visitors to this time, this place. We are just passing through, and our purpose here is to observe, to learn, to grow, to love, and then we return home. Andrew has remote viewed the many unique dynamics governing the conscious evolution of humanity at this extraordinary time, beyond time as we have known it. This is a good time to remember the path home. And it's a good time to interview Andrew Bartzis on Cosmic Love. Thank you, Andrew, for being with us today.
How are you doing today, Chris?
Fine. It's a good day to be alive.
Very good day.
I was going to ask, how long have you been doing your two radio shows?
I've been doing it's Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I've been there for 5 weeks now, and I've been at Wolf Spirit Radio for just about a year now. I got a big archives at both sides, and you can check Freedom Slips or Revolution Radio on YouTube to get my archives over there.
Okay. The internet has been unveiling all knowledge, you might say, going mainstream with gifts of the Holy Spirit in terms of, you know, whatever you want to know, wherever you want to go. And a lot of people are accessing knowledge directly with the internet. And more people are, you know, with the unveiling, the thinning of the veil, you might say, what's going on with our, you know, with the energies at this time. More people are you might say, slipping the surly bounds of time and space. And you've got a unique way of remote viewing, or dream time seeing, you sometimes refer to it. Would you explain how this references what's going on with you and with, you know, the left and right brain or whatever, how they're different and how they're related to what you do as a galactic historian and a healer, you might say?
All right. When I see this world, I see the world in a phase of soul contracts, energetic interactions on the soul level, and then when I enter a dream realm, that is when I go to sleep here, I wake up somewhere else. And when I wake up somewhere else, and it's time to go to sleep over there, I go to sleep over there and come here. So I dream myself into a dream world. By doing that, when I see an area that I'm remote viewing its entire Akashic history and relating it to my DNA relations that I may have as an incarnating soul on that planet. I am connected to the Akashic records of well over 20,000 different planets spread throughout three different galaxies. That is what allowed me to be a galactic historian and an understander of the great motion that the high spirits that are creating and co-creating our various parts of our world our solar system, our galaxy, and how souls interact with it. On one level, I can see the three-dimensional objects that are in and around an area and then move my consciousness in and out and experience them. I can also do this on a dream level, and this dream level is understanding why there are multidimensional beings existing, incarnating, and co-creating, and seeing how their patterns interact with my patterns or the future patterns that are still in the dream weave.
So in the dream weave, this dream time seeing, the pattern recognition capabilities, we usually think of that as being associated with the left brain, but the non-linear free association, you know, might say beyond the frames of reference of the left brain, is that what you call dream time seeing?
It's actually when the two sides unite and your crown chakra opens up to your third eye chakra and there's a cone of energy inside the energy, and you're no longer remote viewing an area, you're remote dream time experiencing it as a unified higher dimensional being with the ability to co-locate into those areas and experience them on a telepathic and psychic level.
So it's like when they refer to real time with the internet, you know, like the instant, you know, instant everywhere, interactive, you know, real time in the moment. Your concept of real time really is in the moment with a level of fullness that a lot of us just aspire to.
Yeah.
So you've got, I guess, quite a momentum on this, and I'm sure you've, I realize that we're all born with different soul gifts and talents over many lifetimes, and you have the ability to access the soul libraries of the Akashic records while, you know, in a conscious state. Could you explain what those records have revealed about your previous embodiments and your role as a healer in the conscious evolution process?
Well, as I began to grow old, as I came out of my puberty years and into my teenage years, I was forced to make a choice of how I wanted to live my life and how much of this world I wanted to experience and how much of the other world I had to, wanted to experience. So I had to split time between the two. And as I did that, each layer was revealed more. I first discovered about when I was 16, basically I was reading a book, and I all of a sudden had this moment where I was really sleepy, and the next thing I know, I was encountering myself in past lives that just energy didn't make sense, and then I fell into a dream time, and that's where I met a dream time society known as Dreamers of the Southern Skies. They're the seven future generations of children yet to be born in this world. And that's when they began to help me understand from the true innocent perspective of what has happened here the last 500,000 years. And they began to reveal the planetary records and the galactic records. Each year I chose to invest more time into that. And each year I did, I learned about what went on in Lemuria, what went on in Atlantis, what went on a cultural level, what failed and what worked as a cultural level. And then how our planet had reached out and helped other planets, as well as other planets reached out and helped us, as well as wars that were back and forth that were endless over and over and over and over again.
The old Star Wars.
While, it was a very massive scale. I mean, I don't want to get into it because it would take up the whole show. I've got probably 20 hours of archives on it. As it progressed into it, I began to understand how much of the history I had already been exposed to by the time I was 25. I mean, there's probably only 50 people on the planet that had experienced that level of the Akashic records, and they made that very apparent. When I say they, the seven future generations of children that were waiting for their opportunities to co-create post-event.
You know, that story to me resonates with what I understand about the shaman cultures throughout history, and even the American Indians. It fascinates me how they had. And this is the Western Plains Indians reading about that they had these children that they had identified early on, and they called them dreamers. Mm-hmm. That's actually what they called them. They referred to them as dreamers, and they were the ones that had the visionary gifts that they could tie mm-hmm. in more so to these previous records. And one of the tragedies of, you know, the history, a friend of mine who was raised by a shaman on an Indian reservation and been going to source since he was 3 years old, as taught to him by grandfather. told me the story of how in the Indian Wars there was that one period where all the Indians were herded up, and all the dreamers in particular, where they were trying to protect them, and they all got massacred. Of course, they came back in a new and better form, as we know, and here we are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I understand that, there is no time or space in spirit realms, and just as, you know, and I mentioned this sometimes in the introduction that I have to Cosmic Love, just as time and space has been eliminated with the, you know, the instant everywhere and interactive internet, we have the same thing going on in the global village now as the veil thins and more people have future memory of their divine destiny. And this is what you're referring to, is the seven, what, levels of children that are waiting
seven
to be...
Waiting to be born. Many of them are living vicariously through the sacred feminine of women that are on the planet now. These are young spirits that have yet to incarnate on Earth, or ones that have had very limited incarnations. That's why women come with many millions of eggs. That represents the opportunity for young spirits to come, to literally come to Earth Mother and then be given a caring attempt to live vicariously through someone else so they can plan their incarnation and soul contracts.
So this is a big thing, getting into embodiment on this platform of evolution at this time.
Very, very big.
It's huge.
There's a limited amount of space that they're letting people in, and you know, it's not the free-for-all that it was before.
Yeah. Yeah, and I sometimes refer to it as the test that's best. It doesn't get any better than Earth right now, you know.
Right.
So I'd like your perspective on what's going on with galactic alignment, the surge in the field, the source field, the quantum field, and the thinning of the veil with a frequency match for souls who are self-motivated to anchor the blueprint for a golden age.
Well, I'll paint a broad stroke because I don't want to get into history, because history is one of those things that will co-create the event and will help people go through a healing process as well as a short harming process.
Right.
Put it this way. A very long time ago, some people were higher dimensional entities were put in charge of Earth, and their mission was to take 2,000 bloodlines, separate bloodlines from three separate galaxies, and make sure that they had enough karma that they could co-create into a single bloodline so they would ultimately be able to heal the bloodlines of all three galaxies, species, many millions of years in the future. Or 500,000 years in the future, every 500,000 year cycle, they would reconstitute new DNA. Earth was a galactic seed planet. It was made by seventh dimensional entities and given seventh dimensional abilities to create DNA and spawn it, and then use our moon to transfer this DNA in a climatized state to other vibratory spots in other parts of the galaxy, so they could literally bring life to other places, so that the future generations of people that wanted to come through this bloodline that would be the healing bloodline for many galaxies would have space, literally space. Things broke down. They didn't succeed to have the breeding pairs that they wanted. And 2012 was representative of the final attempts for those administrations to succeed at the rules, which was to get 1,200 breeding pairs that can be spread between the three galaxies for the first cycle out of darkness. They failed at that, which triggered a galactic audit, which is the pulse you're talking about from the central sun. That pulse is coming closer and closer and closer, and when it does, it is literally measuring the consciousness level that is in and around our solar system, and it represents the total potential of positive and negative incarnation rules, karma, and it determines the level of polarity, and then it will return everything to a prime neutral and allow the souls that were trapped here or migrated here to return to their home. And as you were saying before, there are those that are ready to go home, and that's what I know as the homing beacon. The homing beacon is what brought them here. Many hundreds of thousands of years ago, Earth was hurt, horribly hurt, and it gave a cry of pain out to the galaxies. And this pain literally reached beyond the layers of reality. It was unexpected how far it went. And beings from other universes unmanifested their body and found a way here. And this great migration from away came to Earth. And now, 500,000 years later, all those migrating waves are done with the cycle. And now it's time for them to return with the DNA and karma that they've learned. And we're at that peak, that culmination where the Kali Yuga age has ended, and we're going towards our higher vibration. And the galactic pulse, which is the audit, is allowing each of us in our own time to unravel our soul contracts that trapped us here or got us caught in a pattern that just really wasn't for our original DNA.
So really the DNA you're referring to is our frequency coordinates that you take with you.
On one aspect, the DNA is the technology. Your skin suit is the technology.
Is the technology. And it's been amazing to me as I've studied spontaneous evolution and other books that were, by different people, Bruce Lipton and David Wilcock, you know, about what's going on with spontaneous evolution at this time. And they get into the science of this, you know, that even in just purified water, how there is just like energetically life forms are created out of nothing. And so this is a principle that I've come to understand, and you know how this can actually work, and that there is definitely something going on. I've come to understand that with the precession of the equinox every 25,920 years or so, that our solar system orbits in a sine wave curve up and across the galactic plane, you know, hundreds of billions of star systems in our Milky Way galaxy. And this is the alignment that's going on now, and there's this alignment, there's a surge of just more energy. And this is accelerating and has been accelerating the rate of change, you know, the last 100 years on Earth. The rate of change has just gone exponential. And it's kind of peaking now and will be for decades. So this process is going on now with accelerated spontaneous evolution of consciousness, thinning of the veil, people awakening. This is my understanding. And I wanted to ask you about this this process that's going on now as far as a horizon event. Things that we can look forward to as a function of this process.
Okay. I'll paint another broad stroke because we're in this time of wet clay that's about to be put into the kiln of creation. And that kiln of creation is the fire and passion of our one hour, 1 week in the future of ourselves that's getting ready to embrace the change. It's always just slightly in the future. On the 21st of December 2012, the end of galactic winter happened, and it signaled the beginning of galactic spring. And what happened that day, only once for a few seconds, imagine looking at our Earth from the position of our moon, and just as a Jacob's ladder of electricity goes from the bottom to the top, the bottom of Earth's aura began an electric pulse. And that pulse went through its south pole and came out its north pole like a Jacob's ladder. And that was the representation of the divided dreamtime world that we have. One side facing the sun in awakened consciousness and the other side sleeping in dreamtime. And the forces of domination and control were fully aware of that and used that to their advantage for the last 500,000 years. Well, December 21st signified the day that they could no longer use those two sides as separate sides. There was no longer the galactic winter to create that. So we each day are getting closer and closer and closer to a unified dream time. People will begin to share dreams. The person you drive with, you know, on the freeway, and you kind of look over and you see a car you recognize on your way to work, you may look out and see that person scratching his face and suddenly have a deja vu. Or both of you will have a deja vu at the same moment, and the expressions on your face will be undeniable. There'll be somebody comes to a living room and shares a dream with one person who shares it with another. The next thing you know, dozens of people are having the same dream over and over again. and to the point where our conscious reality will not be able to comprehend or co-create with it or understand it. It simply will begin to evolve as the various people begin to be activated with their homing beacons, which starts in your dream time. Because in your dream time is where you understand the migratory spirit that's within you that brought you here and will bring you to the gateway point of graduation here so you can understand what it is that you succeeded in doing.
So, is this just a different way of saying what some people refer to as soul soaring?
No. This is literally how the event's going to unfold.
Okay.
Like, literally, when I mean event, there is something that's going to happen that can get a billion views on YouTube.
Ah, I gotcha. And everyone's sharing the dream in that regard.
Yep.
So, this is thinning of the veil, or however you would, there's different ways of what's going on with this process, people having effective sensory perception, ESP. It's not extra anymore. It's effective. They've actually, when you've got it, there's nothing extra about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
more people.
Like part of your body.
And one thing I see going on a lot is people losing time, all kinds of, when you say gifts of the Holy Spirit, just knowing things, what people are going to say before they say it. A lot of people going through physical changes in their body, their consciousness is going through a lot of changes, and I'm hearing this just more and more. There's this, what do you call it, the big shift or whatever, that there's this transformation, metamorphosis, whatever going on. And I've been hearing different things about, over this last year in particular, that our Milky Way galaxy is intersecting with the Sagittarius galaxy, and you refer to three galaxies. What's the story there?
The way I'll describe it, to keep on compacted on time here, this solar system was set up. The moon was discovered here many, many eons ago, and some very high-dimensional entities understood that it was a mobile ascension machine for big spirits. So whoever created understood that ascension was ultimately a way of keeping your spirit, your race alive. So they moved planets from all over the galaxies. They had two or three sets of spirits from each galaxy had crossed the void between galactic consciousnesses and were able to create a union of people that wanted to create karma between the three galaxies. And those were new creator spirits that the prime creator had given a mission to do, just like, we have missions here in our world. They just did not use a planetary level. So they assembled a sun and the planets, and each one of them had very special properties. And so when they assembled this system and created astrology and astronomy and everything that would be for it, it would be because all three of these galaxies, the very edge of their energetic fields, would be interacting. Think of three circles coming together right on an edge. You just have that little elliptical image in there. And Earth and the solar system, our solar system, would be in the center. Our sun has 10 million times the stargates inside it than other suns of other galaxies. So it's a master hub, teleportation hub to all galaxies. Also, each of our planets have the ability to transmit to specific brothers and sister planets that are in its soul group. So our entire system is meant to be a galactic hub on a three-dimensional level as well as a spiritual level. So it is literally the spot in between three galaxies that you can go to get a passport to go to the other galaxy and exchange karma or explore or become a creating spirit.
Well, my mind was reeling on that last statement. We could do a whole show on that. When I say that, there was a lot of things, as you said, that triggered different understanding I have about
that right there is the Akashic Records live. That's the feeling. And at times when I do it, I'll go 4 or 5 hours like that.
Yeah, and it sounds like cosmogenesis, you know, really, what I understood with them, and I have a lot of background with the Ascended Master teachings, with different movements here in the United States and, you know, the Theosophy movement. And my understanding of cosmogenesis is that that there is this process of conscious evolution in all life forms, and that that the process is, of course, with incarnation and reincarnation. You know, the soul in the eternal scheme of things. I mean, it's a process we usually don't think about in our limited 3D, you know, 100-year lifespan. We don't go there too much. But in the eternal scheme of things, which you're referring to, you know, Akashic records, that there is in the vast scale of evolution that we, and this is my understanding, that we do evolve to planetary levels. That planets are actually there's a consciousness that is of a soul level, and that the sun, like Helios and Vesta and our sun and Alpha and Omega and the Great Central Sun, that there's sentient intelligences that are all linked together, in different ways. And am I close here? Or?
Yeah. Here, I'll give you another one. Each sun is a creator, prime creator spirit. Each sun is linked in a hive mind, and that hive mind has an overmind, which is a galactic creator spirit. Each galaxy in the universe is linked to all other galaxy, which makes a universal prime creator, and each universe is linked to every other universe with an overmind, which creates a prime universe creator, and then it goes to the infinite beyond.
You know, I think some listeners of A Cosmic Love think I'm pretty crazy in some of my shows where I've talked about the quantum field, and that there are stargates on all levels, from atomic levels to galactic levels, and that actually our heart chakra is like a stargate. It's like a torus field, and it's connected in an instant everywhere connection, you know, with through heart coherence with the field, you know, the unified field. And that on all levels, you know, from our heart chakras, the auric field around, you know, the body itself is a torus field. And again, the heart of that is the heart, and is connected from an atomic level to a galactic level. And that's an instant everywhere connection. And it's all in divine order with an intelligence, which you could call God or source or, you know, divine love or, you know, I mean, the name just in the flame, you know, just doesn't do the same, you know, for everyone. You know, everyone's got their own frame of reference for you know, the holy whole. But I've talked about this, talked about how it's all connected and that it's an all in divine order. And this is the first time I've had anyone on the show that just really, you know, took that frame of reference to the nth degree, which really, to me, is, you know, it's the common sense that's uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
So there's what I understand is a revolution in higher consciousness that's matriculating the matrix here on Earth. And some people talk about the chicken and the egg. You know, what's coming first? Is it the quantum pulse from the heart of creation, you know, in our hearts that's activating our minds, or you know, is this all from the inside out?
It's all of that, actually. Here's an example.
Okay.
When you have deja vu, what came first, the deja vu or the dream that you had it in?
Yeah.
Okay. We're all existing as infinite beings in the dream world with a unified dream time, but our physical bodies haven't dreamed a unified dream time in 500,000 years because we've been separated by a force of domination and control that was trying to separate us by genes so they could breed us all into a single species.
So what a lot of these luminary leaders, you know, regarding the big shift, they're talking about, you know, co-creation or unity conscience. That's what you're referring to.
In one aspect, yes. There's a unity conscience as a global culture, and then there's a unity consciousness that each individual has with all of creation.
With all of creation.
We have not breached those. We haven't breached those two layers yet. Well, the conscious explorers are breaching the universal layer, not the cultural, the universal conscious layer.
So there's an individual and collective dynamic going on here.
Correct. And to get your passport, you have to graduate through both.
You have to graduate from both. So what and they refer to in the Ascended Master teachings, you know, East and West, they, you know, the I Am presence or your presence, you know, really is a connection with the source. It really is a connection with the field to where you have a direct relationship with God, so to speak, or a direct relationship, you know, the I Am that I Am or source or divine love or cosmic consciousness. I mean, there's all these different the New Age movements that have their own frame of reference, and then there's the expression is, if the only tool you got is a hammer, you look at everyone as a nail, and we get nailed, you know, from all these different perspectives with all these different orthodoxies and frames of reference. Mm-hmm. But so what you're talking about is really in a cosmogenesis sense, from the perspective of ancient cosmic history, or and as a galactic historian, your perspective on this is that this conscious evolution process, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, but Earth right now is really in the nexus of a lot of changes.
Yes, it is at the culmination where the prime creator of this galaxy and the prime creator of the other two galaxies that are involved here created a grand trireme so that they would communicate to the prime creator of this universe. They had created a new life form, and that they wanted this new life form to spread beyond these three galaxies, and that to do that, we needed to use our free will to come together as a global culture, put aside the hate and war that had divided us to make us a unified culture, and then we had to relearn our place in galactic history as people that were co-creating our physical lives while we were trying to ascend to our original home, the duality that is Earth.
So we're going from duality to polarity, or divide and conquer, to unity and diversity, you might say. That's where we're at right now.
We're going to eliminate polarity and return to a sacred neutral. Any being that cannot accept sacred neutral for a single cycle while all souls understand their migratory patterns will be sent back to the galactic central sun and recycled.
So basically we're talking about just a more comprehensive understanding of the golden rule law language for every golden age.
Yeah, but it has new rules this time that weren't really comprehended before, because there's now karma between three galaxies, 2,000 separate species, and during this time that our species has been trying to be bred into a single, the other three galaxies, those species have genetically changed also. So it's like a Rubik's Cube that's got 20,000 sides on each one.
So my understanding of karma is the path of spiritual evolution is by balancing karma, and you can do it the hard way, learning from mistakes, or you can do it the easy way with dharma, which is more like divine destiny and divine and tuning into one's divine plan. And how do you see that as dynamic going on at this time?
When I do my psychic readings, I see a person's soul contracts. So there are souls that come in here that will plan six lifetimes ahead of time, and there are other souls that plan one lifetime to one lifetime. Well, the souls that have been here a while realize if they're planning lifetime to lifetime, they really need a solid foundation in education and family, and it's very difficult to keep that past the 30s and the 40s as literally the change was coming because the level of technology was changing. So a lot of these spirits had to figure out new ways of having enough psychic powers inside them in their DNA born with, activated before after they went through the forgetting of the birth canal. The things like autism came through. Those are extremely powerful psychics, but you don't really understand them because a lot of their work is done on the astral level. So it's all about soul contracts, about soul groups, how different groups have different group karma as opposed to individual karma. And then there's planetary karma to each individual, and then each individual's planetary karma to other planets that they've existed on. And there are planets that have soul contracts between each other to exchange different levels of vibratory souls. And there are times that souls get pulled out of their soul group and literally get taken to somewhere else against their will because they had not been using their free will enough, and their karma brings them to a new vibration that, in one sense, forces free will to choose evolution, or you just get stuck in it until you choose to get out of it.
So sometimes I think of the only sins is being stuck in negativity, you know, in other words, or interfering with the soul evolution of another. S-I-N, you know, stuck in negativity, it's like there's not that honoring of the process whereby, you know, we all, you know, optimize our conscious soul evolution. And I'm thinking of what's going on, you know, with the planet right now. From my understanding, when I refer to Dharma or divine destiny, that evolution is stacked in favor of the conscious evolution of souls. And I don't know if you'd use the term ascension, but or on the path back home, but that everything is designed for an optimal situation from cosmic councils or otherwise for Earth's evolution at this time, for a process that I, you know, when I think of divine destiny or Dharma, that this process is for the success of this evolution process.
Yes, it's slanted in its absolute favor so that the forces of domination and control understand that each layer that is being removed until finally they make the choice that the audit says, accept prime neutral creator for one cycle or be recycled into nothingness. So if a being has reached a total negative polarity or a total positive polarity and cannot accept prime neutral for one cycle, that being has gone beyond the karmic rules of this planet and is recycled because they're now breaking the rules of prime creator.
I think
our entities on this planet that are like that, and they don't exist in one body. They would exist in several thousand bodies at once because a single human body can't hold all of their soul energy.
So what is the term you use there, prime neutral or prime?
Prime neutral creator.
Prime neutral creator. That concept of being the prime neutral concept, I think an analogy to that would be the whole concept of net neutrality on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a free and open internet. We have a free and open process, and the balancing and the checks and balances of the extremes, you know, would seem to be the prime directive.
In one level, for me, it's a sacred neutral perspective. That means everything I do is from a completely neutral perspective where I see the polarity for what it is, and I keep my own energies into my own path energies, so I'm not interacting with the creation or co-creation of the environment that I'm in. I'm retaining a neutral energetic field that is always in harmony with the hive consciousness that's Earth Mother. And it's a different outlay than having a culture of polarity.
So you're just kind of an objective observer of the justice that just is, with no judgment as far as everything's in divine order, and everything anyone would be going through, that it's basically everyone's 100% right for their free will prevailing awareness.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so from that perspective, I can see the more you tune into that, the less judgmental a person would become.
And that's what opened up the galactic records to me to the level that I have now, that I'm able to literally function, you know, completely normal, you know, stand up, walk around, have talk, stop, just absolutely, because I've now understand the layers of polarity and that you don't need polarity to connect to the Akashic records if they're already within your soul group and your DNA. And it's imprinted in my DNA. I planned this lifetime hundreds of thousands of years ago, planned it to peak and to do exactly what I'm doing on air now, 18 to 20 hours of live radio a week, peaking in March, for that exact purpose, because I know each time I speak, there is a total potential of people that I'm listening to live plus in the archives. When I started this show, right away I sensed that the archives are going to be massive for this show, and that the questions that are going to come in for me and for you are going to be related around the first 26 minutes of the show. And then the last 7 minutes of the show, where what's going to happen is there's the next thing that you described before that was just really deep. Because I kind of dreamed this show before. It's something that I do. I dreamed you. I dreamed this radio station. I dreamed Revolution Radio. I dreamed Wolf Spirit Radio. I had literally 6 years of a dream life, and then I woke up and I was back here. So I've dreamed all this before.
Yeah, it's funny how that dream evolves, too, and how a lot of us are sleepers, and we're just waking up from the dream with our divine destiny, our mission, our, you know, a purpose for greater service. A lot of people are waking up. I mean, it's the dynamic here. Sometimes I refer to matriculating the matrix. There's this metamorphosis process going on in the individually and collectively, and there's this resonance. As one individual, you might say, breaks through. It just creates a momentum in the field, in the quantum field, where it empowers and encourages others to break through. And it's like these soul sparks are igniting, and brush fires are being ignited, and brush fires in the collective consciousness. And it's like it's not really wildfires, you know. These fires are burning through the dross of human consciousness, and people are waking up in ways that, it's to me, it's amazing. And I'm finding people like yourself, you know. It's like I run into, you know, different on the internet, and even locally, it's more people are connecting with other people with extraordinary gifts and talents that are really ordinary. From, you know, once you've got it, there's nothing extra about it. It's like, you know, it's not extra sensory perception. It's just effective or sensory perception. And more people are getting a sense of that. And as they kind of tune into it, you know, I really believe there's a resonance with a higher field or consciousness. And that this is what the revolution in higher consciousness is about, that the ascended masters were really, specifically Elizabeth Clare Prophet, was really strong on in the 70s and the 80s, as far as, people getting on the path back home. And I wanted to get back to this concept of the reference to the three galaxies. We only know of the Milky Way galaxies. Are these three galaxies actually a part of what we see or know as the Milky Way galaxy, or is one of them interdimensional? I've heard of the Sagittarius galaxies, and I've seen pictures up on the internet about how it's actually merging with our galaxy at this time, but I haven't heard about this third galaxy.
The third galaxy is out of phase. It was the war galaxy that was brought in here to introduce the concept of war to the other two galaxies. So that's part of the galactic history. That's something I could probably do two hours on. To limit it into something that would help, the three galaxies, their prime neutral creators, agreed that they would move close enough together, and that they agreed that their highest energy souls would cross the Great Divide and meet each other and create karma on a galactic scale for the first time in this universe. And then they began the creation process of moving the planets in the right spot so each galaxy would be stretched to its edges, and that Earth would be the linchpin of soul progression and access through past galactic passports to the three sides. So that's the best way that I can describe it for right now.
So there is Earth as a platform for the evolution of souls has really been and I've always believed that these souls are incarnating here from all over the universe, or at least the galaxy, and that it's a very unique platform for the evolution of souls, and that there's a very unique dynamic going on. And what you're saying, as I understand, is that this is the karma, and you don't say good karma or bad karma, because from a neutral perspective, it's part of
the soul contract, unfulfilled or fulfilled.
The part of the soul contract, fulfilled or unfulfilled. So your concept of ascension then is really this fulfillment of the soul contracts.
Yep. depending on the scale that you can see it and the layers that you accept it as
right.
an evolving, co-creating spirit.
So ascension for a blade of grass or a really smart dog would be different for the ascension for a human or an ascended master.
Yes, but in this world, the way they set up the incarnation rituals, animal spirits were much wilder, feral spirits that hadn't gone through the taming process of being on a higher dimensional planet. So many of them were force-given DNA codes against their will so they could ultimately gain a will. And that forced evolution, and many of these animal spirits suddenly began incarnating into soul groups, like when dog found man and became man's best friend. A dog became a co-creating symbiotic spirit that eventually was able to get man DNA codes. And many other species did the exact same thing. And that was generally not possible on any of the other planets in the three galaxies. So it just adds a whole new layer for animals.
I've heard that the soul that the sentient awareness of a dog can actually evolve to the point where that soul can actually incarnate in a human form.
Yep. And then there are times that it'll reach a human form and can be an ascended master the next lifetime because it spent so long as a feral spirit.
That's really interesting to me. So it corresponds to cosmic law as I understand it. I've kind of sensed that, you know, before I had you on the show. It was just like there was a thrill and an excitement to have you on the show because, you know, I find I can't talk about this stuff too much generally on the show. You know what I mean? I mean, I've done a lot of studying on my own and seminars and workshops and, you know, and cosmogenesis and this kind of stuff, but over the years. But, you know, there's so much coming out right now with people interested in what's going on with the conscious evolution process. Bruce Lipton's book and then David Wilcox's book, another, you know, on spontaneous evolution and conscious evolution. There's a lot coming out on it now. And, you know, without the understanding of cosmogenesis, it's just kind of, it's disconnected.
And that's why me as a galactic historian is coming in here. And then there are others that are going to be what's called galactic architects. In post-event, these architects will make themselves known and begin to be made available so that people can ask questions of them. And a lot of people are going to be able to put their pieces of puzzle together when the architect basically has, I'm going to call it a speech in front of a big audience. And then each person will have individual time because that architect would be able to have an individual conversation with hundreds of thousands of people at a time. Like he would be co-telepathically communicating individually with hundreds of thousands at the same time, helping them understand their architectural plan, and then they can look to the galactic historians. Because I'm not the only galactic historian here. I'm just one that's on air.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense to me that this whole process of connecting the archetypes, the architecture, those, you know, the archetypes, like Jung referred to it in the collective consciousness, there's the repeating pattern, common sense of these patterns throughout history, whether it be, you know, the psychological processes or religious ritual structures of native cultures or architectural motifs, you know, throughout history, there are certain patterns that repeat themselves. And the more you deal with the archetypes in the collective unconscious, and the more they become conscious, the more everything is organized in archetypal ways. And that's what the architects, as I understand it, for the divine destiny of America or the I Am race or, you know, collective consciousness of humanity, that's what the archetypes or the architects will do. And I've looked at this over the years from the perspective of, you know, healing of the healthcare system or universal self-care and what could be done with the Internet, with the information databases, whereby you would access a database and go into a gateway, you know, into a website and enter your metabolic type, which is really your genetic code and your blood type, and, you know, and for all the people that have your same blood type, metabolic type, you know, with current symptom profiles, then you could check a database on what's working best, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, or some eclectic combination. And the only obligation of using this free service, whether you put your results back in the database so that it becomes a self-perfecting database, then it becomes very clear for holistic healing, you know, which modalities or combinations of modalities work best for holistic healing. And, yep. and I talk about that. I've got a whole websites on it, and it's like, you know, a voice crying in the wilderness at this time. You know what I mean?
You know what? I know exactly what you mean. Exactly what you mean.
And it's the same concept.
But guess what? The wilderness has a consciousness, and it has heard you, and it has manifested this time where you're talking about it and owning it from your heart space. So you're doing good.
I'm working on it. And I think that what's, in a sense, what's going on is that it's a concept of, again, what would the architects for the divine destiny of conscious evolution work with? And this concept of cultural DNA, you know, what we have in common in terms of the language of consciousness itself, the archetypes, as Jung referred to, and what we have in common, and how we could use that language as an interactive interface to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. And within that consciousness, you know, conscience with a capital C,
mm-hmm.
and how that could be cultured with an interactive interface with the internet, you know, whereby anyone could make a YouTube video, for example, and then 100 or 1,000 or a million people could respond to the same program at the same time with this language of consciousness with three numbers in sequence that basically cross-references, you know, the three dimensions of the holodeck between the ears, you know, the upper brain, the lower brain, the left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain, and how that there's like a brightness scale from the top to the bottom and a color spectrum from the left to the right, and the patterning of, you know, brightness and color forms an image, and so the evaluation or the evaluation criteria at any one moment of a YouTube video, you could actually have the collective consciousness read out with those three numbers in sequence from those three XYZ coordinate dimensions being a dot in a cube. And so you've got a little, in the corner of your screen, you've got a little three-dimensional graphic, 3D graphic, that's got the dot patterns, you know, in the different quadrants of this, you know, XYZ coordinate, you know, kind of 3D floating cube there. And you could go back then at any point of a program, a video program, and see where the response was and how the collective consciousness came together with the dot fields, you know, and the different, you follow me?
And oh, I'm totally following you.
And that the vision of that alone could be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy as far as a vision of wholeness in the collective consciousness that brings light at any one, you know, collective conscience with capital C to any one point of it, like a YouTube video, where there's a lot of response, so that you can take the context and meaning at any one point, and you basically, it's like information's ecology. You know, you recycle general knowledge to generate specific wisdom, so that then someone else could create a YouTube video taking the highlights of the video and the response and bringing the consciousness, the collective consciousness, you know, referencing that, to create a new video to basically get to the essence of the essence as a function of the collective consciousness that's involved and evolved by this process. You know, individually and collectively, people involved with this process would become more conscious of how they're conscious.
Exactly.
And anyway, I get excited about that, and I've written a lot about it. And again, it's haven't found many takers at this point, but I figure in the larger scheme of things, it's, the, you know, the records there that this is possible.
I got something else for you. Imagine this: you have 7 billion people. Let's say 6 billion of them have access to the internet at any point in time. And let's say you have a million ambassadors that are going to be the ambassadors, those 6 billion people. If each one of those 1 million people from other planets made a single 10-minute YouTube video that introduced themselves and their soul family, then that was released as a database. And then, just as you said, people would be able to scan the input of our people that would begin to watch those videos. And then those people that had to sent those videos would also have their response for the next level, as we allowed ourselves to exchange on a visual level, 3D visual level, until finally we exchanged on a fourth dimensional or a dream level.
Well,
how
yeah.
we're going to meet our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I can see how that would work. And it's kind of a function of the same process of evolving and then evolving our individual and collective consciousness with the language of consciousness, or the language of light. You know, some of them I refer to is like, you know, light carries intelligence, and they now know, you know, in the spectrum, just like they talk about full spectrum autism, where there's full spectrum consciousness, you know, and the understanding of the different bands of the color spectrum and how it corresponds to processes of consciousness, like yellow and green are in angstrom units, right in the middle of the color spectrum. And it's the brightest of all colors, yellow, and the healing ray, you know, green, and so much of chlorophyll, you know, in the nature kingdom is through, you know, the yellow and green chlorophyll, you know, for assimilating light, and it's like in the balance of the left, the red and the blue ends of the spectrum, which is really amazing, and you've got, you know, the idea of, you know, the Dr. Spock and the Scotty, you know, the fiery emotional Scotty in Star Trek, and you've got the cold intellectual Spock. It's like the blue and the red, the fiery red emotional, and the so there's, you know, and then, you know, the wishy-washy scientist with his intellect, you know, the blue end of the spectrum, who can rationalize anything with his intellect. If there's not the full spectrum consciousness, or if there's a kind of a, you know, spectral autism they refer to, you're only on one band or several bands of the spectrum at a time. And that understanding, I think, is coming into a collective consciousness. We're at the end of the show, and Andrew, I'm going to have to do a wrap here, but I wanted to thank you for being on. I wanted to reference everyone to your shows on Revolution Radio, you know, the YouTube channel, and Wolf Spirit Radio, and thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. If you want me to come on again, we'll talk more galactic history.
I'd love to. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening today, and happy trails. Till we meet again in a couple weeks. Bye for now.
All righty.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time.